The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Every year when I log into TurboTax at tax time, I pretty much know what's going to happen. It asks you a lot of yes and no questions. And no matter what you put, if it's wrong, they'll let you know. So you just do it. I pretty much know how much I'm going to have to pay. Priests are classified as self-employed, so we pay between 20 and 25% of our income to the person we used to call Uncle Sam. I don't know if people call him Uncle Sam anymore or not. And I always have in the back of my mind, is it being used for things that church teachings would approve of? Maybe not, but if I refuse to pay my taxes, I'll end up in jail. So let's say you're a father of four children who rely on you for their livelihood. Should you be in jail, or should you be caring for your children? Jesus seems to be saying in the gospel today, it is what it is. This is the world we live in. Well, I thought I would look up the census tax. The census tax at Jesus' time was one Roman denarius, which was considered one day's pay. It's hard to put an actual value on what that is because a day's wage changes with the times. It was between three and four grams of silver, which value also depends on the market. In today's U.S. dollars, it would be the equivalent of $50 to $70 a day, but it certainly was not worth that at Jesus' time. One source I found said that this was actually a relatively small flat tax that everyone could afford, even the poor. The daily wage isn't based on the value of what the coin is worth, but rather on what it can buy to provide a living wage for the laborer. In the Depression, laborers made 25 cents a day. The priest, like me, on the average makes about $125 a day. Whether that day is 8 hours or 12 hours, it doesn't matter. The new $15 minimum wage based on 8 hours a day is $120 a day. If you make $100,000 a year, your daily wage is about $275. So it's all relative. The census tax was a direct tax in the Roman state of first century Palestine, which was a part of the province of Syria. And it was like land taxes based on value or agricultural yield. There were also indirect taxes like tolls or duties or transported goods at city gates, harbors, markets, and toll stations on trade routes. These would have been collected by people like St. Matthew, later called by Jesus to be an apostle, or Zacchaeus. But taxes gathered all together were very burdensome for the people of Jesus' day. And historians say that collection methods benefited the local elites, and abuses were common. Taxes triggered a revolt of Jewish extremists called zealots, one of whom was also called by Jesus to be an apostle, the other Simon. So isn't that interesting? In Jesus' 12, there's a tax collector and also a zealot who's rebelling against taxes. It's kind of fascinating. As burdensome as this was, it is interesting that the Pharisees, who are questioning Jesus' stance on the census tax, themselves required a temple tax of every Jewish male 20 years of age or older of one half shekel, which was 2 days' pay. That's the temple tax. One historical source I found said that there were 8 to 10 million Jewish people at the time of Jesus. If one third of the population were men over 20, that meant that an annual income for the temple would be about $150 million in today's U.S. dollars. So the Pharisees are clearly not taking issue with the concept of taxation, but with who it benefits and how it is used. Their tax dollars were funding the occupation of their lands and the persecution that came with it from the Romans. So should we pay the temple tax or not? If Jesus says yes, he is in collusion with Rome, justifying Roman occupation and the oppression of the Jews. It is their hypocrisy which he notes, obviously flattering him on the outside, but trying to trap him, revealing their evil intent inside. So Jesus replies, the tax should be paid. But the question is, what belongs to whom? What is really important here? He subverts the reach of the emperor by showing that the emperor's claim on them only goes so far as this little coin. He affirms the all-encompassing reach of God's ownership in such a way that he relativizes even imperial claims of right to rule. In his mind, probably was Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, and all those who live in it. So ultimately, it is the question of allegiance. If God owns everything anyway, we belong to God alone. The emperor belongs to God alone. And we have to navigate the contexts in life that pull at that allegiance, always mindful of their lack of importance in comparison to belonging to God. We are not in the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. That was a saying that we heard a lot when I was younger. But that is not to say that the world is not good. It simply is the place where God has created us, but we are meant for more. It wasn't in the pericope of gospel that we had today, but immediately after that, it says that the Pharisees and the Herodians who were there, they went away amazed. They didn't know what to say because Jesus revealed to them how insignificant even their question was at that particular moment.